Welcome to another episode of GT Radio. Pino Magnetta here. And tonight I have a very good friend, and we have had a couple of pretty extraordinary conversation with this guy, and I was fascinated by where the discussion took us. And so tonight we're going to take you on a little bit of that journey that him and I had during that conversation. We'll save that for later, but thanks for being on the show, Henry. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Tino. I appreciate that.
So you grew up on the ranch, right? I mean, you were...
I did.
You were like a family of ranches.
Yep. I grew up on a ranch with all the cows and horses and stuff like that.
What was that work ethic like? Because I know that's pretty hard work ethic.
Yeah, that's up at the crack of dawn, and you finish work when you finish work. So if it's dark and you're still working, then you're still working. So it just means it's going to be
right
a short time to sleep. Yep.
Yeah, it's right through. And then everything
it
needs
is.
To be done, you know, a specific time in a specific way. And there's really no days off, right? There's always something going on.
Yeah, no, not especially with not my parents and my grandfather and everything. You know, there was no day off, and you get it done the way they wanted it done. So that was just what I was used to.
What kind of people were your parents? Because I know they instilled a lot of great stuff in you. Tell us a little bit about them.
You know, hardworking. My father was always had at least two or three jobs. He was a rancher. He was a miner. He was a farmer. He did a little bit of everything. You know, my mom was the same way. Although she was a housewife, she did a lot of things to help, you know, keep the family moving.
Yeah, they were very very disciplined like that. They would do basically whatever they had to, right? Keep it moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. What aspirations did you have as a kid?
You know, I certainly didn't think I was going to go into the casino business. You know, all through growing up, you know, besides the ranch, it was more or less you're going to go to school, you're going to go to college, and you'll decide from there. So it wasn't hard to see where I was going to go as far as the direction was concerned. But you know, afterwards, I faced the same situation everybody else faces as far as, you know, what type of industry are you going to go into, and what are you going to be?
Yeah, exactly. You have to make a decision, right?
At some point in time, yes.
Yeah. Now you're very interesting this way, because I've only interviewed maybe a handful of people that are native that have done this. You actually started in the commercial world, right, at UPS?
Yes, I did. I was a supervisor for UPS. I did all of their training for the Tempe location.
What did that involve? Tell us a little bit about that, because that was pretty involved. Tell us how you did it.
UPS is an interesting business. They've got everything down to a science. I mean, they know exactly what one person is going to be doing on a job and how long it's going to take them. So basically, I took all of that information, applied it to different jobs, and then came up with training programs for the individuals that were in those jobs. You know, if they left, then I started brand new training somebody else. But it was just a lot of training people to become more efficient with the job that they were in.
And what did that entail? Like what kind of, because I know there was
a lot of,
it's very sophisticated with the scheduling, and give us a little bit more detail on, you know, because this is important to your development.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of meeting with the individual, a lot of talking with them, a lot of just determining what their style is, you know, and sometimes what their aspirations are, what they want to do, how far they want to go with the company, and them being able to see, here's how I can help you get there, you know. And sometimes you get down to a point where you're able to tell what an individual's learning style is, because we all have different learning styles. I'm a visual. I got to see things happening, where other people can just hear things and they know exactly how to do it. Well, in that job, you had to figure out exactly what their learning style was and how best to approach them and get them moving at the speed that UPS wanted them to move at.
And that was an important skill for you, wasn't it, to learn?
It helped me not only just to realize that, you know, people are different, and, you know, everybody's different as far as they learn, but just to a degree, you know, to have a little bit more patience.
Right. Now, why do you think that you were able to understand this and do this job so well?
A lot of it, I just go back to the work ethics, and it was just, you don't stop until you get it done and you succeed. You know, that was a lot of the work ethics basically that my father and my mom instilled in me, and just not necessarily the success portion of it, but don't stop until you're done, you know, and if something goes wrong, well, then get back up, dust yourself off, and go at it again.
Right. Just keep chipping away at it.
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah. Just keep moving forward. What?
You have to. You know, you got to keep moving forward.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was just saying you have to. You got to keep moving forward.
Exactly. Exactly right. Now, this job, basically, how many years were you there?
At UPS, I was there a good, 5 to 7 years, somewhere around that range.
And then what happened?
I got married, she was from North Dakota. So about that time, her parents were wanting us to move back over there. Didn't have a job or anything, but they owned a ranch, and I knew ranching and farming. And they said, there's a casino coming on board over here, apply. So we did. And then the following weekend, we got called up for interviews, and, you know, they hired us on the spot. And, you know, one of my biggest things there was, you know, I don't have any casino experience. And my GM at the time said, that's okay, you have management experience, and that's what we need.
Now, at what point was this? This is Gila River, right?
No. That was in North Dakota. So we spent
North Dakota.
3 years.
What casino was that?
Prairie Nights Casino and Lodge.
Okay, got it. Paint us a picture of how it was back then. It's not like it was now. What was it, the 90s?
Yeah, it was the 90s. So
yeah.
One of the only
was
casinos
like
around there.
It was completely different, right?
Yeah, the only thing
different.
The only thing that was the same is that it was very cold.
Yeah.
And I knew that at least 9 months out of the year it's going to be all white.
That's funny, man. That's the only thing that's the same. So
yeah,
it
but,
was,
you know,
it
then,
was,
then it was,
yeah.
It was the mentality, you know, if you build it, they will come. And they did.
Yeah.
You know,
and
we
they
put
did.
A casino.
Yeah,
we put a casino a good 2 hours into the reservation from the nearest town, and people came.
Yeah, because they had no other alternative where they could play and have a good time. Yeah.
Right.
So you went back to Arizona, right? And that's when.
Yep. I actually fell down one time in the snow and came to my senses while I was lying on my back and saying, I need to get out of here.
Oh, man, I know. That it's pretty brutal. I'm from Toronto, so I know what you're talking about, but Dakota's the worst. It's pretty brutal winters, man. It's like, just like
the
movie.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Just like the movie.
Definitely. So,
tell us
so
a little bit about
Gila River. Yeah, I came back to Gila River. I came back to Arizona and applied at Gila River and got hired there and opened up the original three. I was actually in facilities. So I moved around a lot in different positions, actually. So between gaming and learning back-of-house operations and things like that, I had a lot of opportunities just to get to learn the casino environment and everything.
So you were combining the management skills that you had from UPS with now the skills of the casino business, right?
Yes.
How do you think that commercial experience helped you to manage through the casino business?
It helped tremendously. You know, I got the knowledge of, you know, business is business. And then coming into Native American gaming where, you know, yeah, business is business, but, you know, there are other factors that come into play that always have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah. What are some of those factors?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question. So,
well, you teed it up, right?
I did. So I might as well drive
you
it through.
You teed it up, so you might as well drive it through. We might as well get into it because we got about 17 minutes. So we might as well get into it. So let's start there.
Yeah, you know,
I think
the biggest thing. That's all right. That's what I'm here for. I'm on the spot, so might as well go.
That's right. You got it. Let's go.
You know, a lot of the things with regards to Native American countries is you always have to take in the atmosphere and just the politics surrounding you. You have to. There's no exception to that. You need to know, you know, the ground level of where you're working at. And how
now,
everything
you think,
comes into
you
play.
Do you think that that's fault, that's, you know, that's clunky for the business? It's something that doesn't fit in? Is there another – how does that work? Does it help Native nations or
– I think every nation is different with regards to how it applies. You know, there's some that just have it down and have worked it through. There are others where, you know, they're going through a lot of growing pains right now, and they're trying to see where everything fits. I don't think it's a bad thing because it's every nation's right to know exactly where, you know, the casino stands or what it's doing exactly or how it's being operated, you know, but there are ways to do that.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that from casino, of course, from tribe to tribe, it's going to change, and that the ones that are struggling, they're actually growing towards a better management style, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. I love when you
and
summarize
what does that
things
entail?
For me, Tina.
Oh, you're great, man. I love you. And what are some of the things, though, that you see that they could do better, that you can do better in Native nations? A quick overview.
I'm sorry, that I could do better? That
no, just like an overview of in general, not you personally, but in Native nations, what they could be done better to help streamline their business processes and how they manage their business. Because you're coming from the commercial world, right?
Yeah. Yes. You know, acknowledging how the politics fits into the business and knowing that there's a fine line there, that A, it doesn't cross here, and B, you know, we have to succeed in business in order to make the environment and or the nation better. You know, you're working for a reason and for a cause here, and typically that's for however many enrolled members there are in the nation.
Yeah, you're right. It's just got to do it so that everybody's on one page. What is?
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we had a discussion on succession and the future. What from a Native perspective, in order to preserve the future, what needs to be done?
You have to immediately begin looking at succession planning and identifying individuals of who you want to be in play for. To begin running the casino, you know, to a different level. You know, things are changing so fast in this environment between technology and other things coming into play here. You know, it's not the if you build it, they will come mentality anymore. You have to have, you know, your business plan in play in advance. This is how you're going to succeed. This is how you're going to make money. And this is how you're going to grow your environment so that you have a plan not just for today, but for the future as well. you know, in these days, if you don't have that, you're behind.
Yeah. So what does that entail?
That entails.
You know, how do you get there? Because it's good to say that, but it does take a lot of work, right? So how do you do that? I mean, how do you get there?
In this environment or in a Native American environment, it's, you know, persuading people that you have to invest. You know, you have to get you have to put a very good program forward that helps to identify tribal members that you're going to help succeed or grow into the positions of management, you know, that are going to run the company for the tribe and look after the best interest of the tribe. That doesn't take, you know, weeks or days. That takes years. You know, in a lot of cases, it takes years to get to that level.
Yeah, it's a lot of planning, and it's a lot of dedication. Why
it's a lot
why
of work.
Is it so important? Yeah, do you think that most people who are listening to this or thinking about this in any way, shape, or form, do they understand the value of doing something like this? Because it's so much work to be able to plan it out that way.
Yeah. You know what? I like to think that, Tino, because, you know, when you're working for a tribe, you know, they're vested. You find tribal members that are vested in their own nation. They want to succeed, you know, and they want the help to succeed. So it's if you're coming in a manager, director level position, then, you know, you should automatically be looking to identify somebody that, you know, wants to succeed, is a tribal member, and you can help move forward.
Yeah, and the key is to be able to have something in place to educate those people. How does that work? Because it seems like that's the most important thing, right? Because you worked in the commercial world. So
right.
Should that be
and
like a prerequisite and part of the plan?
It has to be. It has to be inclusive in the plan, you know. And like I said, every nation or every tribe is going to be different. Every casino is going to be different at what level they're at or what investment they can come back with, you know. But it's more or less that commitment of we're going to begin this. And here's what we're going to do first, whether it's identifying somebody and then going back. And it's not rocket science. It's being done already. You know, there are a lot of tribes that are already out there that are doing it that you can reach out to and call and say, hey, can you give us an idea of what you did here with succession planning? You know, how did you put that into play in your organizations? You know, typically that's a lot of the things that we get answers to with regards to any type of situation that we're applying in our industry. You know, you go out and you find somebody that has already dealt with it, you know, and there's already somebody else that is a step ahead, you know, and or writing the book, and they're willing to share this with you.
You said to me, Native gaming needs to push the limits. There are so many opportunities if you know how to push for it. What do you mean about? What do you mean for that? People are saying, "Well, I work every day." What do you mean, push for it?
You got to go into it with the understanding that you're going to be told no. For a lot of things, you know, no, this may not be the time, or no, this may not work. But you have to go, you have to continue pushing that scenario, especially if you know it's the right scenario to go forward with. And that it's going to be good for the enterprise as well as the nation, you have to continue to push and to push and to push until you get the right answer.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sometimes it might be pretty exhausting, right? It gets exhausting. You have to have a lot of staying power in order to get what you want.
Staying power, patience, exhaustion is a good word for it.
What advice would you give to the next generation of natives in the gaming business?
Get your education, and no doesn't necessarily mean no. It just means be creative and find a way to get around things. Because once you start doing that, you begin creating opportunities, and you just need to be prepared for that, because opportunities come at the sometimes at the strangest occurrences or chance. You know, it just comes up, and you're prepared.
You said to me, you have to bring a big team with you to turn a big ship. What do you mean by that?
One person can't do it alone. You know, the team has to be in play, and the team has to be on the same page, whether it's a shift in culture, especially when it's a shift in culture, bringing a different level of standards in play. In order to turn that ship with everybody still on board, you need more than one person to do that.
Yeah, especially to keep everybody on board too, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, anybody can turn a ship, but you just don't want to be tossing all your team members off.
Right. Where do you think we're going to be in the next 10 to 20 years with everything that's going on right now?
God, 10 to 20 years, I'm hoping to be sitting on a beach somewhere, Tino.
You will be.
I hope so.
Hopefully in 10, nice. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hopefully in 10 and not 20.
Yeah. Wow, I think there's so much technology coming into play right now. There's so many, you know, I think, you know, with the tribes specifically, you know, possibly just full-blown Vegas-style gaming coming into play.
Yeah, it's already happening, right, in a few states.
Yeah.
So that's going to, like, blow things up. How do you weed through all that stuff? There's so much technology now in the gaming business.
How do you educate yourself? Reading, listening to your show. You know.
Thank you. You're absolutely, you know, exactly, you're right. Come to think of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say great things on our show.
You got to network, and you got to extend yourself out there so that people begin to know you. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of good people out there, GMs, CEOs out there that are willing to have conversations with you and say, hey, you know, I went down that road before. You may want to take a look at this, or just my experience is this with that. And, you know, you always have somebody that you can just talk to, because when you push it and you continue to push it, you got to be able to vent as well.
Yeah, you need like a sounding board, right?
Exactly.
How do you balance your life? Because our business is 24 hours, 7 days a week.
I laugh because I've been dealing with that a lot lately. You know, people say, you have to have, you know, work and life is 50-50. And I just don't agree with that. You know, I just don't agree with that, especially coming from, you know, that ranching background and going into gaming where it's 24/7, 365. And especially when you're opening properties, you know, it's not 50-50. You're your other half, and especially, you know, I'm married, and my wife understands the industry that I'm in, and she knows me well enough that especially when we're on an opening or I'm at work, I'm 100% at work. You know, I'm given everything that I have to what I'm doing and going into the future. And then when I'm with my family, I try to be 100% with my family. There's always going to be situations that come up, you know, but trying to find a 50-50 balance, I kind of feel like I'm just setting myself up for failure there. You know,
yeah.
when I'm with them, I'm just, you know, I just try to focus on my family and that's it. And when I'm at work,
yeah, no, that's,
you know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very well said. It's kind of hard to maintain that, especially because of the intensity, and especially right now with all the construction you guys are doing, it's equally, you know, it's even harder, right?
Oh yes, it is. So we're going through construction and we're still operating in interim facilities. So it's almost like we have two day jobs.
How do you maintain that, you know, that level of, say, preciseness that you need? I mean, you're dealing with so many different aspects. What kind of qualities does someone need to have to get to that level?
Patience. Patience is definitely a good quality, and just you have to be very positive. You know, there's sometimes where, you know, there's just a lot of things that are going to come at you that are just negative, 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 but you have to be able to turn things into a positive and continue moving forward. You know, you're gonna take a lot of hits. You will take a lot of hits, but it's just a matter of getting up, moving on, and continuing to move forward.
Yeah, moving forward is the key no matter what.
Yep.
You know, you can't just lay down and die.
Nope, and you can't be stagnant, because that's not going to do you any good either.
Arizona market is competitive, right?
Yes, very much so.
How do you deal with the competitiveness? How do you deal with the competition?
You know, we're all pretty good friends. You know, between Gila River and Casino Arizona, and even to a degree, you know, the casinos down in Tucson as well. You know, we keep conversations. We talk about things that are happening, but in all honesty, for us, you know, we put together what we believe is a plan that's going to achieve our budget expectations. And I don't look at, you know, what is Gila River doing, or what is Talking Sticks doing, or anything else like that. I always believe that if you're looking to be a leader in the industry, then you have to define what you're going to do and do it. You know, regardless of what, you know, a lot of people are going to say about it, you have to be willing to go out on the skinny branches, so to speak.
Right, go out on the skinny branches and risk falling.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all about the risk reward. What is your advice for people that are looking to get into the gaming business or looking at it, just like for their first time jobs? Not the people that are in it already, but someone's considering getting into the business who's not in another related business like you are.
Yeah, it's you know what, it's a great industry. It's done well by me and my family. You know, it's taking care of all of us, and you have to be willing to move, especially if you want to move up. You've got to move around. You need to learn all aspects of the industry, especially the financials. That's key. That's very important, and how to interpret that data and make some different changes within the organization.
We spoke a little bit about the culture at Desert Diamond. Talk to me a little bit about that and the kind of people that you're working with and have been working with for these years and to accomplish what you've been accomplishing.
You know, it's a team effort with everybody. I mean, they're great people, you know, not just at work, but, you know, off work as well. You know, we have our differences, but we're all willing to accept the constructive criticism, you know, and we all see the same thing. You know, we're working for the nation. We want to have the most successful enterprise that we can put forward at this point in time and you know, achieve all the budget expectations that the nation may have. So we have a great group of people in play right now.
Yeah, you always talk very highly of your team, and that's the key, right? It's really, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. Yeah.
It is.
Takes a team to turn a big ship.
Yep.
Like
never will be one person, as far as I know. So, and if you know one person, please introduce me to them.
I will. Henry, should we take some calls? You're cracking me up tonight.
Sure. Absolutely.
Got to have you back on the show. Hang on one sec. Hello, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a sorry? Do you have a question for Henry Childs? We're gonna have a hoot tonight.
Good evening,
so Henry's cracking me out.
Good evening, Tino and Henry. Steve Neely, Rolling Hills Casino up in California.
Hey, Steve,
how you guys
how
doing?
Are you, man? Good.
Hey,
good.
Steve,
good
how you doing?
You, Steve.
Doing good. I just had to make sure and call in as someone who competed with Henry and his team. Definitely a very, very good foe. But I also have to agree with what he was saying about, you know, we compete, but we also, you know, we break bread. And, you know, I think everything that we ever did against one another was above board and was fun spirited and was you know, a lot of fun. So I just
Absolutely.
Want to commend you for that. And, you know, obviously congratulate you on the move up north and the project that you guys are working on. I know that's going to be amazing. When you were called on to make the move north, I guess my question is, what was your real, ultimately, what was the area that you really made you make the decision to go up to that property? As opposed to staying in Tucson where it was safe and easy, and not easy, but safe and familiar.
I think it's in your blood too, Steve. In fact, I know it is. You know, it's that opening part. When you've gone through an opening and everything else like that, construction and everything, it just stays there. And you want to continue to move forward and just make those changes. For me, that's what it was. You know, I wanted to go through, do something different for the nation, something that was going to make an impact. I'd been in the Phoenix market before, and I know the different casinos, so it was kind of just like coming back home.
Well, congratulations. I think it's going to be awesome when you guys get all the way open. I know you're doing well already in a temporary facility, but I look forward to the invite to come check it out when it's fully open.
Definitely. We got you on the list, Steve.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate the call.
You bet.
All right. That was great. Nice little surprise, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Steve's a good guy. He's been around a long time, so.
He is. Very knowledgeable
also,
guy.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Henry?
Good evening, Tino and Henry. I hope you gentlemen are doing well today. Tino, as always, your show is fantastic, and Henry learning quite a bit. Henry, my question is, with your experience, how do you blend you talked about teaching and mentoring styles to your team's ability to learn. Have you noticed that generally one style works better than another? And ultimately, who has the onus of responsibility to adjust or change for property success?
I think if it really depends on the individual, you know, as far as who's doing the training. What I've found is it's just a lot better just to be open and be willing to change to get people to work more efficiently and effectively. You just got to try a lot of different things with your team, because each one of those team members are different, so to speak, and they learn at a different capacity. You know, the onus I'll always put on myself. You know, as a GM, you take the responsibility, it stops here, and you just you have to move forward. But there's also that responsibility as directors to ensure that they're supporting the direction that we need to go in, and taking that message further down, you know, further down the line.
Sure. And other than gaming, entertainment, and dining, essentially the resort experience, looking into the future, and so many tribes are doing this and so many properties are doing this, what business model do you think would best fit or business endeavor fit your tribe for the future that's outside of the, we'll call it the resort casino experience?
Wow, that's a great question. And I know it's a question that we've been looking into.
That's what Tino suggested I say it.
Nice. I should have known where that question came from.
No. He got it up on his own.
Yeah, it really depends on the tribe. You know, us, especially with regards to Glendale, you know, we're centrally located there in just a population of a mass amount of people. So it's good not just to place your eggs all in one basket, so to speak, and begin to diversify and look. And right now that's what we're doing, just based upon feasibility studies and pro formas and what is exactly going to be the fit. You know, I can give you a lot of opinions of what I think, but ultimately it comes down to the number and what is exactly going to be the fit, you know, with not only the enterprise, but the nation as well.
And when you say the fit, are you saying, and obviously you want it to make money, but you want it to benefit the tribe long term too, I would assume, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, and thank you very much for having me on, Tino.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the question.
Have a great night. Yeah.
You too, gentlemen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Henry?
I certainly do. Good evening, gentlemen. This is Heidi Antizana from Southern California.
Good evening.
How are you, Henry? This is Heidi.
Henry.
Tino.
Hello. Yeah, we lost you there for a
Hello.
Sec.
Hello. Oh,
I'm
sorry.
We lost you there for a sec. Go ahead.
We found you.
Go ahead.
You went. We found you, Henry. How are you doing? It's
okay.
Heidi and Tizana.
I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice finally.
Wonderful, Henry. So, yeah, I've been following and very interesting stories. I want to ask you two quick things. Is you've been with Desert Diamond, is it nearly 12 years now?
16.
Wow. What has kept you there for that long?
It's my tribe, number one. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to come back and work for my tribe and hopefully, you know, make a difference, you know, make some changes and do something that's beneficial, you know, for them.
Absolutely. And going forward for the prosperity of the future, I'm sure, too.
Exactly.
And Henry, what, as a GM, what is it that you do to keep connected with your teams, and especially the leadership team, where you need to set them up for success? What, how do you keep connected, and how do you motivate them, that you know, on a weekly, daily basis?
We actually do a lot of meetings formally, but we'll also have I ensure just reaching out to them on a, just a daily basis, actually, whether it's making contact with marketing, HR, just seeing what's on their plate, how we're moving forward. And basically we have, what we've done is we put some things in place that is, has, we've written down their goals. So we constantly do reviews of what they're achieving and where they're actually at certain points, you know, within the first quarter, what the roadblocks are, any types of situations. And they know that we have, not only do we have an open door policy, but we stand behind that. They can find us at any point in time to discuss any challenges that they have.
I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. And one last thing, if I may, Tina.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, having not been at Desert Diamond and heard a lot about how great it is there, as you know, I'm friends with Tony Chartrand as well. What is the experience that you are promising at Desert Diamond? What is it that is your brand experience promise, per se?
You have been talking to Tony, haven't you?
I have not. He doesn't even know I'm on this call. he has no idea. Actually, I'm going to talk to him after, though.
You know, what we're defining with Desert Diamond, because we've grown so much, and we're experiencing a lot of growing pains right now, whether it's you know, marketing, HR. We're defining our brand between how our team members see that as an employer, as well as what our brand is going to be out in the market.
Wonderful.
It's almost Yeah, it's almost two messages out there that we want to send to people. You know, when they think about Desert Diamond as an employer, it's you know, it's a first place. This is the place you want to be employed by within the Phoenix area. And as far as, you know, marketing is concerned, you know, we're grateful, number one, that we've had the opportunity to come into the West Valley. You know, it's just, we're just glad to have the opportunity to build such an amazing facility, you know, and grown up for the last 3 years in this market.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you are focusing on that evolvement of the brand messaging, because so many casinos just don't realize that you have to constantly evolve with time and with generations, per se.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, Henry, thank you so much for chatting, and I look forward to meeting you in person soon.
As do I, Heidi. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Tino. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Great questions.
Definitely.
This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Henry Childs?
Yeah. Hey, good evening, Mike. Mike in Las Vegas. Good conversation.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, entertaining, to say the least.
yeah.
Hey, Henry, question for you. You know, it's gotten a lot easier since they put the Tillman Bridge from Arizona into Nevada, into Las Vegas from Arizona. And, you know, we've seen, I was out there a couple weeks ago, and I saw that the Las Vegas Convention Business Authority is making quite a splash out there to draw, you know, some of that drive market, some of that market they may have lost in Southern California over the years. What do you guys do to compete against Las Vegas, to encourage folks to, you know, stay home and play or expand the locals market?
You know, right now it's actually hard. It's very hard for us to compete with Las Vegas because we just don't have all the amenities that Vegas has. You know, we're limited with bet structure, you know, by compact with regards to table games. So, you know, some of the things that we put forward just have to be with regards to the environment. You know, a focus for us entirely is guest service. You know, getting our employees to understand it's okay to have fun in the atmosphere you're in. We know you're at work, but create that environment where people want to be here and not necessarily make a 2 or 3 hour drive down to Vegas. You know, we know we're entirely a locals market considering where we're situated. So, you know, a good portion of our game plan is just focusing entirely on guest service.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking, this was a friend of mine from Southern California, but gambled at one of the tribal properties down there a couple times a month and came to Vegas. And said, you know, within a couple hours, he was ready to go home to his casino. You know, that he was treated better, and people knew him, and he felt more at home than, you know, wasting the time and the energy to come out to Vegas and just be, you know, one in many in the crowd.
Exactly. And once you create that environment, people tend to brand it as their casino, and that's where they want to be.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I'm excited for you guys out there, and good luck with the expansion as you move along.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Have a good night.
Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Henry Childs?
I do, but you can't hear me, I guess. Hello?
No, now we can. Hello? We can hear you now.
Now you can hear me. All right. That's helpful.
Yes, before we could,
Tino,
now
hi,
we can.
Henry. Okay, this is Thomas Duleen, Verona Resort and Casino, Southern California. Welcome, and thanks for the great show. So this is the first
thank
time
you,
I actually
you,
get to listen live. Great.
Oh, that's great. Good.
Henry, I think our path crossed way back in 2008 at the EDP, Executive Development Program.
Our path did cross in, Thomas. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you. Hey, I got a question as to succession planning. Actually, I have two, but if Tino only gives me one, that's fine.
No, two is fine.
you mentioned to, you know, talk to casinos, talk to people, friends of ours, colleagues who've gone through it. The challenge that I find with best practices, and maybe you can enlighten me there, how do we make sure that the process of best practices actually then starts working for our specific environment? And what I mean by that is to our culture, our organizational model, our values, traditions, the internal chemistry, you know, or what they normally describe as the SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So because each, like you already said, each nation, each tribe is so different, have you found a way that helps us to incorporate best practices and still stay focused on our organization?
The short answer to that would be no.
Okay.
And still looking for a way to be honest. You expected something differently, didn't you?
For
succession planning, you just have to be aware of again the environment, and everything that you said is absolutely spot on. It really is. But that's just a work in progress, and for me specifically, it still is a work in progress. You know, it's just a matter of trying to get everything right in the environment that we're in, and being aware of culture, being aware of sensitivity, being just taking all those factors into consideration. So a lot of it is speaking with people outside that have done this and, you know, are giving you pointers with regards to, you know, some of the directions they've done.
Okay.
And
Yeah. So it's not so much best practices, let's copy that, but, oh, that's what works for them. How would that affect us? Do I read that correctly?
You did.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Because, I mean, we all talk about succession planning, and we just have to guard against cloning the person who's going out, because that may not be the person for tomorrow. That's just another person for today. The other quick question that I have, you know, based on your experience, and it's great to know that, you know, you traveled around from cold country to nice country. How do we go beyond looking at trends and to find out what is the actual future with the opportunities and the obstacles? And what I mean with that is we're always getting, I don't want to say pushed, but we're always getting encouraged to do trend analysis. And then I find out, well, it's a trend. The trend is something that happens today, but that's not really the future. And, you know, to give you an example, the whole changes, you've been around long enough, from the cash cage being the nerve center of the casino, to IT now being the nerve center of the casino. This was a major shift, and we didn't really see the trends, but, you know, there was a future shift that we didn't anticipate. Do you have any secrets you want to share or any experience of how to look beyond trends and really analyze and understand the future developments?
You know, a lot of that, Thomas, is taking some of those trends and seeing which ones are being applied at different casinos in different locations. And some of it is just timing as to knowing when it's going to impact your market here and trying to get ahead of all of that. So networking, you know, what we talked about earlier, and you know, it's just part of the game. You have to be out there speaking to other people, knowing what they're bringing into play and what's working and what isn't working and what their environment is. That's a huge key to just seeing a trend to something, an entire direction that the industry is going in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you think is going to be the next future, not the next trend, but the next future move for us in mortar and brick buildings?
Wow. Yeah, you know, if I had
you're
that...
You're going to tell me, but it's going to cost me $10,000, right?
Exactly. You and everybody else.
Yeah.
So you know, you never know. You never know what's going to come into play. It's a matter of staying ahead of all the analytics and the trends and seeing what's going to best work out.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Henry. It was sure nice talking to you. Thank you, Tina, for your time and for having me on. And continued success over at Desert Diamond.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Good question.
He's a great guy.
Very good question.
Yes.
Yeah. Really great guy. Hang on a second.
Yep.
Ms. Tina Magnetta, do you have a question for Thomas, for Henry Child? You got me going there.
Yeah, in listening to the show so far, Henry, you mentioned something difficult about politics, especially in your business, and I was just curious, what is the biggest political challenge that you've had to solve since joining Gila River?
Gila River or Desert Diamond?
I'm sorry, Desert Diamond.
You know, it's politically, the good thing about Desert Diamond is there are some boundaries with regards to the politics and how it comes to play into the business. I think the hardest scenario to solve is understanding those boundaries, you know, and where they stop and where they may continue forward a little bit. It's hard to, when you're first starting to get into that, understanding where you're clear, you got a green light, go, or yellow caution, or red, you better stop.
And are those type of obstacles similar between all the different native gaming establishments you've been a part of?
I would say no. I would say definitely no. Each tribe has their own, you know, expectations, and you just learn that by each day that goes by and just talking to people and getting a better understanding of what the expectations are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Tino Magnetta, do you have a question for Henry Childs?
Can you hear me now?
Hello. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Henry Childs?
Aloha, Mike Kahanui. How's it going, Tino? How's it going, Henry?
Good. How are you?
How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, you know, obviously, great job on everything so far. I apologize that I came in a little bit late and didn't get a chance to hear it all. So if I repeat my question, you'll have to forgive me a little bit, Henry. You're in a tremendous market. You guys are in a tremendous market doing awesome things right now. You know, I always like to go back to kind of when you look at you having, your peers and your mentors, what's something that you took away from them that you've always brought with you? And then how do you find that next succession plan, identify that next person who's ready to come up? What are those things that you really work on? If you've already asked that, I apologize if I missed it.
No, actually, I don't think it has been asked, but, you know, one of the things that I really value early on in gaming was one of the GMs I was working with actually sat down and gave me some advice with regards to the gaming industry, and he said if you want to move up, you have to move, number one. And he said the other part of what he said was never be threatened by anybody else. You know, it's always good to train people with what you know. Because if they move up, that means you're going to be moving up to something, maybe somewhere else better, for what it's worth, you know. But it's always an experience. So, you know, don't be afraid to work with other people and train them on what you know. So
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and taking that on to identify, you know, I look for people that are with the same mentality, so to speak. You know, they're willing to share and they want to know and they're eager and they're hungry and they want to get into this and succeed.
That's the, you know, the truest part, right? You know, we're always looking for that next person to pass that gem of wisdom, but you really are looking for someone who has that desire. And I think if you've been doing it long enough, it sometimes becomes frustrating when you can't always find that desire in candidates and things like that. So, you know, I think we all kind of go to our strengths and to find those, you know, those next leaders, those next resources. Where are some of the key attributes of leaders of tomorrow that you look for, beyond that persistence and desire to share?
Beyond the persistence and desire to share, I think, you know, nowadays you have to look at the analytical background. You know, people and their Their ability to take numbers and determine exactly, what to interpret the numbers basically, and make decisions based upon those numbers. Somebody that's creative and thinks out of the box, and doesn't necessarily worry about, other people saying this is a crazy idea. You can't go in that direction when in actuality it may be a very good idea.
No, very true. Hey, one of my other favorites, that I love to ask Henry is, what's your pet peeve? I think we've all developed them over the years. What's something that just drives you a little bit?
Oh, I think the biggest one is I'm pretty structured. So somebody coming in and just flying by the seat of their pants is just really hard for me to get used to. So for me, there has to be some type of structure, some type of goal, that we're looking to achieve, and we're defining exactly what we're doing here. So sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, but it's just who I am.
Oh, certainly makes sense. I've kind of taken up a little bit of your time, but great show. Again, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. Tino, as always, it is a pleasure, sir. I hope you guys have a great one tonight.
Yes. Thank you so much
for coming on.
Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha. Well, Henry, thanks for a great show. We've had a great time. We've had a lot of laughs, and I really appreciate you coming on, and can't wait to have you on again.
Definitely, Tino. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it, and had a blast this last hour just talking with you.
Good. And try not to work too hard.
I always try not to do that.
All right, you have a good evening.
Take care, Tino.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a fantastic show. And Henry's always got a lot of interesting things to say. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. I forgot to announce the next show. Matthew Bruce will be on the show on the 29th, which is Thursday. And he's a very interesting guy, knows a lot about a lot of different things. He's with Spotlight 29. He's the marketing director there. And I'm really looking to have him on the show. Have a good evening. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Have a good evening.